Hey, hello, welcome to Game Chat, to the video game book club on the internet. I'm not Steph, and I'm not Madeline. I am Jonathan, and I am taking up host duty for Alan Wake, because it was my must play. So we're all here because of me. Alan Wake was originally released in May of 2010. But it was recently remastered, and the remaster just released at the time of recording last week, or 5th, 2021. It's developed and published by Remedy Entertainment, and platform-wise, it's on a lot of things. The original can still be bought on Xbox 360, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and Steam, as the remaster is available on Xbox One, Series X, PS4, PS5, and the Epic Games Store exclusive on PC. So, summary is, in this award-winning cinematic action thriller, author Alan Wake embarks on a desperate search for his missing wife, Alice. Following her mysterious disappearance from the Pacific Northwest town of Bright Falls, he discovers pages of a horror story he had supposedly written, he has no memory of. Nick is soon forced to question his sanity as page by page the story comes true before his eyes. The hostile presence of supernatural darkness is taking over everyone it finds, turning them against him. There is no choice but to confront the forces of darkness, armed with only with his flashlights, a handgun, and what remains of his shredded mind. Nightmare's journey to find answers to the mind-bending mystery he faces lead him into the terrifying depths of the night. So, yeah. Usually we do an intro question to get listeners to know who's all chatting. And just a fun little intro question is, what is the creepiest, spookiest vacation spot or place you've been to? We'll just go from the top.
Okay. This is Franco. Well, we'll just add one caveat. I've been to Gettysburg, but not at night. You know, not the battlefields at night, so I really can't say that was, you know, spooky or anything. No, I mean, not really. I've been to stayed at some bad hotels where it's like, in fact, I stayed at, me and a buddy, we were doing a baseball trip through the Midwest, and we checked in and checked out. took one look at the room, one look at the neighborhood, and said, no. but nothing yet terribly spooky.
As I'll go ahead and go next. Like I said at the beginning, I'm Jonathan. this is almost started going through the whole intro again. Oh gosh. I haven't been anywhere like super spooky and scary, like in the sense of like actually being fearful. I've been on a lot of camping trips when I was younger that like I was just freaked out because of the woods, but I think the one I like to talk about, I think all our fellow chatters have heard me tell the story, but a couple of years ago I went to Rock City in Chattanooga, Tennessee. It's right there. It's right there on like the border of Chattanooga or Tennessee and Georgia and Alabama, and like there's a spot on the mountain where it's like you could see from the horizon, you could see like six states, stuff like that. And it's cool, it's fun. There's gnomes everywhere, like more so that it's like a terrifying where's Waldo, but it's all gnomes. But that's not even the creepy part. Creepy part is one of the pieces of Dark City is there's this underground art exhibit, I guess, called Fairy Tale Caverns. And, you know, on paper, it sounds nice. It's, you know, it's a bunch of, like, dioramas of, like, Grimm's fairy tales, like, various other fairy tales, you know. Like Little Red Riding Hood, The Locks of the Three Bears, you know, Humpty Dumpty. You know, it's just a bunch of dioramas. Which, like, again, on paper it sounds good, but what makes it terrifying is that everything was blacklit. Hmm. Everything was painted with neon colors show up in the blacklight. And you're underground, you're in a cave. The blacklight is the only light. And there's, like, you know, also, they're just not normal looking statues of a bar, and it was just very, all of them are very creepy. Look up pictures, Fairyland Caverns. They're fairy tale. Dark City, you'll find them, and it's just further you walk in, the more you're just like, this is terrifying. And, like, Humpty Dumpty is your nightmare, and everything's just blacklit, and it's creepy, and you're in a cave, and honestly, like, it would be a great place to just film, like, a fake little horror movie, is, like, the facial expressions on every single statue is just a little bit concerning. Next.
This is Madeline. So we kind of made this place creepy. It wasn't really creepy when we went there. For my senior trip, my family went to Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Park. And we stayed in a cabin outside of Yellowstone. And there's a ton to do up there all the time. But being children, we made more to do. And we had our own, we staged a cryptid sighting outside of our cabin. My brother put a paper bag over his head and cut out creepy eyes for it, and was outside in sock feet. And we took blurry pictures of him through the window in the woods and called him Bagfoot. So
this is wonderful.
It wasn't really, like, creepy, but it was, like, Bagfoot kind of remains as the, like, we want to keep kind of recreating that moment anytime we go on family vacations. But since that was, like, my senior trip after I graduated with high school, we really haven't been on that many family vacations since then, mm-hmm. like, all together as a family, because there's four kids and my parents, and three of us are married now, and two of them have their own kids. So next summer, we're supposed to be all going together on another trip out in a cabin in Kentucky, West Virginia, something out there in the Appalachians. So when we do,
that's where Bagfoot lives.
I'm looking forward to another Bagfoot sighting.
West posted.
I guess next.
Yes.
This is Chris. So the one thing that does come to mind is when I went to E3 2015 with Game Church. We stayed at this place. I think in the fashion district of LA, but it was like the dumpiest neighborhood that we were in. And you had the options of taking three flights of stairs up, or you could take the elevator. And it was one of those old school elevators where you had to close the gate, or you had to close the door and then the gate for the elevator to work. And then the elevator got stuck on the floor as well. So that was fun. We all had this like one big like office area room that we were all sleeping in, and there were no screens on the window, so all the mosquitoes got in at night and like bit everyone. So there was that. The bathrooms themselves were okay, but the creepiest thing was what we dubbed the murder shower, which literally was just like this closet in the hallway that you opened up, and it was one of those just like shower stalls that you would get at like Home Depot or whatever. But
gosh,
you only had about a 2 foot by, I don't know, like 4 foot, 3 foot like slab in front of you before you got into the shower. And it was just cement, and it was like really gross looking because no one really took care of it. And there was no place to like really put your clothes there or your towel. There was a hook on the door, so it's like you had to kind of like shove everything up there. But the problem was, not only was like you had to like fine tune the shower dial thing knob to get the water temperature right, because it was either colder than the Arctic or hotter than the sun. There was just that tiny little like millimeter in there that had the perfect temperature that was just really hard to get right. But there was just like, you would take the shower and the water would just like overflow the shower pan and onto the cement.
Oh, like it keeps getting worse every time.
So then like you're trying to get dressed after the shower and like not get your clothes wet from the puddle that's in front of you. And it was just, I mean, we were there for 5 days.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was pretty difficult. And, you know, the best part, too, was that we weren't told to bring a towel with us. So we pretty much all had to stop at Target to grab a towel so that we'd have something to dry ourselves off. But yeah, the shower was like the sketchiest thing. And then, you know, not to mention that the battery in the van that we had was stolen on the Saturday morning that we were supposed to leave. So that was a whole nother fun adventure too. So
wow.
Yeah.
That is the worst nightmare. Just all of that.
No one died, but I mean, someone did get some pretty bad food poisoning that was unrelated to the event, to the place we stayed at, but that's another whole nother story as well. So
well, thanks for all those spooky places. So let's talk about our spooky game, Alan Wake. So as usual, kind of start just the general, the game and the mechanics. What's everyone playing Alan Wake? The remaster, the original?
Remaster.
Master.
Both. I started on PS4 remastered. And got, as telling Jonathan, got her bad motion sickness from that. And I'm like, oh, and here's the funny thing. All right. And I'm like, all right, let me. So I saw it was on the original was on Steam for like $15. So bought it on Steam from my laptop. And playing on my laptop is fine because the original on the PC has way many more graphics controls than the PS4 edition, which has just came out, which is really bizarre. But I was able to open up the field of view on the laptop, and I'm playing okay. So it's really odd. The remaster of the PS4 was like $30. The original on Steam was $14 and plays better. Looks about the same, I think. And really weird was the PS4 remastered version was 52 gigabytes download. The original on the laptop was like 10 gigabytes. And I'm like, I don't see where the extra 40 wow. gigabytes went.
it's that rendering HD. You wouldn't use anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm playing the watch someone else play the remaster on YouTube. And I tried, since I was just watching it, I tried to go back and watch the original as well. And I really, like, I watched about an hour and a half of it, and I was like, I really can't tell. Like, I think the facial animation is honestly a little bit less weird for the original than the remaster.
Yeah.
But I liked the streamer that I was watching for the remaster better, so I watched with her instead.
Yeah. This is definitely, you know, especially nowadays, it's like, you get told about a remaster. Like, you never... Remaster is now, remaster is, like, now very broad. Because people will say, like, oh, it's remaster. But then, like, it's just a port sometimes. Then other times, it's... People have... Like, oh, yeah, no, we... We did all the cutscenes and everything, and it's, oh, that's okay. And I feel like, even though I haven't looked at the original Alan Wake yet, playing the remaster on my Xbox Series X, and it is, you can tell this is much more of a remaster of, like, got like a coat of paint. Like, they just put in their textures. It, like, widescreen.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I haven't noticed. I mean, I say I don't notice frame rate stutters or anything, but honest, I probably wouldn't have noticed if there were. I mean, it feels to run smoothly, but I could totally understand how you could get motion sick from this game, because control's pretty weird, you know? With...
Yeah.
Just...
Yeah, you really have to... I know I did on both systems, PS4 and the laptop, have to play around with the sensitivity on the... And it's weird. It should have... I wish the game... I don't know. I have to look on the laptop version, but didn't seem to that they should have it a separate adjustability for the left and right sticks. It was just horizontal and vertical, I think. And it's like the flashlight was really like flying all over the place. And I tuned that down a little bit. And
I realized I'm playing some more today with the flashlight is expect the flashlight, the way they want you to use a flashlight, is it to be basically your targeting, you know, your cursor, you're mm-hmm. shining it. And yet, like, you know, every other game feels like doesn't, like, I feel like in other action kind of based games like this, it would shine. It automatically kind of like towards the center, it would always be like just drawn, like it'd be in the center, and then like camera moves like first person shooter kind of controls, you know? It's like every time you shoot the gun, it'll be, then it's like it goes past the center sometimes. You have to like follow it into the background of the scene. And it's just very awkward. It's like sometimes you'll try to be shooting, you'll try to be like shining the flashlight like right in front of you. Then it's like, oh no, you're actually aiming past them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the aim was, yeah, there's, go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
I kind of wish there was like a, what is it? The auto,
auto aim,
auto
targeting, auto aim,
aim assist,
yeah.
I mean,
you
almost have noodle arms at some point with the flashlight and everything.
That and
you
almost have to use your flashlight to get an accurate shot. There's no such thing as hip fire, you know. It's like you have if you're not using your flashlight, you have no idea where your shot's going.
Which is. Weird though too, because like the gun, I had no problem making contact with the gun, with shooting them. Like I wasn't missing a single one, but with the flashlight, it was just like,
oh yeah, it jumps around. Yeah.
I feel like the gun, it kind of is a sort of aim assist thing. Something I noticed while playing is, and I don't know if this is like really true, but I think it does, like some enemies, it takes into account, you know, where you're shooting them. You know, if you're doing like a headshot or like shooting them in the legs or something. And I was like, you're seriously expecting me to aim that well with these controls?
With the flashlight?
Do headshots?
Yeah, well, and you better give me crosshairs if you're doing that stuff.
Alan did say he had spent time at a gun range, but he never said he spent time at a flashlight range. So
that's another thing is, I mean, who knows? Maybe the game will surprise me in later episodes, but it's like, I wish he had like a modern flashlight that has like three settings now. You could just be like regular, wide, flashing,
strobe.
Yeah.
Too, that was weird. Is in the tutorial, you ran out of batteries, but then in the game, like it would recharge on its own.
Yes, it does. At slowly least recharge. Yeah.
And
so you're stuck with that 50-50 deal. Well, if I just back up a little more, the flashlight will recharge. Well, I've backed up a few cliffs.
Exactly. There's no places to back up and wait for it to recharge.
Yeah, you literally have
to. It's almost kind of like
turn around and run.
How do you even tease me with the charging? And then even with the trying to run away, at least for me in episode 2, we'll get there. Talk about the story, but like those guys are sprinters.
Yes,
like I'm running away, and then all of a sudden they're on top of me, stabbing me.
They're pretty quick.
And then I don't even think they did it in the tutorial, but in game, it's like every enemy can also throw stuff at you.
Mm-hmm.
It could hit you whether you're looking at them or not. That's
It's
like I have to be listening very carefully for this whole like shing, you know, with a duck for a butcher knife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's moving around, like the way you control Alan reminds me of Until Dawn, or like even like Life is Strange or a Telltale kind of game.
Yeah.
It's like you move slowly and methodically, which is fine if you're a game that wants to do that, but those game the type of movement does not work in like an action scenario.
Yeah.
It's like
it's a weird mix.
It's clear they're making they want this to be like an action kind of game, considering there's collectibles story-based collectibles that are locked behind nightmare difficulty mode.
Yeah, that's another thing. Yeah. I was wondering what that symbol was, and I went and did a quick thing. It was like, what's this thing? Oh, it's only those pages are available in nightmare. I'm like, well, that's kind of stupid. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I kind of guess. I don't. Yeah, about the collectibles, about the only one I'm kind of concentrating on the manuscript pages. I am looking around a lot. I'm taking my, you know, when there's not a baddie around, I'm taking my time looking around, but the forest is brutal for that. I got lost like 3 or 4 times. Like, all right, where the hell am I supposed to go now? Because it's like, you get that sort of like, I know they're hiding a thermos here somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With the collectibles, it's like they put these open areas in these levels. Then there's too many times they don't like reward you exploring. It's just an empty space. Yes.
Yeah. And it's sort of like
and so then it makes you not want to explore. So there's multiple times.
Yes, exactly.
There's multiple times like I had just like to stop exploring, and then like I turned around and I see in the distance thermos.
Right.
And, and once I see it, it's like I gotta go back and get it, you know. But then it's like I had already like did the autosave for the next area, so every time I died, I had to like
go back to get it.
Remember to go back and get I got the first collectible coffee thermos. The diner in episode 1, I laughed because I'm like, that's a funny, like, you know, because he's a writer and he just said like, oh, I live on coffee, you know, and it's like, oh, that's cute. It's a coffee thermos. And like in my head, I was expecting like, oh, each coffee thermos will like look different and I could like look at them in the menu or something.
Right.
And, I haven't looked at the main menu, but it's like, no, there's nothing.
Yeah.
All look the same. There's 100 of them.
Yeah, I know I'm going to miss at least 3 or 4, so it's like after a while you're like, if I happen upon one, I'll laugh, you know?
Yeah.
But it's not like, you know, I think...
I don't know what it gets you.
Yeah, I wish a better way would be like every 10, you might get a little, like 1% more health or something like that.
Could stay awake longer.
Yeah, like if it tells you.
You have to go constantly check statistics to see how many you got. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm currently playing Metroid Dread. You know, it's a Metroid idea by definition. It's just like collect rare thing that you get for exploring. And it's like, oh, this is health part of 1. Collect 4 of these, your health will increase.
Yes.
Oh, right. Thank you. I'm now incentivized to collect these.
Exactly. Yeah, if we're just doing this for giggles, it's like, you know, after a while, you're like, yeah, well, screw that.
That's the point. Yeah, especially when you die like 15 times and
get
back to get the one.
Yeah, get the one. Backtrack, get the thermos, go and die.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at least with the manuscripts, it's like,
you're getting
some of them are related to the story.
Yeah,
that's what I've noticed. Yeah. It's like
they're pretty bright, so 95% of them are easy to pick up.
Mm.
There are a couple that are like well hidden. I mean, not well hidden, but off the beaten track. You have to actually go out into the woods and find a picnic table or something like that to find, you know, a couple of manuscript pages.
Yeah.
And one, I think, towards the end of the second episode was one behind boxes. You had to climb up over the boxes. Yeah.
Just don't mistake bear traps for
what are they for?
Paper.
I will. I'll bring that up again when we talk about episode 2, but oh my gosh, that made me so mad that they make the air traps that harm you
glow just like
the main exactly script. Like every single thing you pick up in this game. Exactly. Then it's just like that, and then like Alan even says something like, "Oh yeah, I was." Rusty told me about these.
Well, you didn't tell us, Alan.
Yeah, I know. You tell us literally everything else in this game, but you didn't tell us that. But and then also, I like the manuscripts. It's like some of them feel like they're supposed to be, you know, hints.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're not.
Yeah, no? Some of them are just nothing. And some of them are like ahead of the game that you're in. They're like ahead.
Oh yeah.
And it's like
part. I feel like that was a really big misstep because the whole point of these pages is it's a story he doesn't remember writing. It's all happening. It's all becoming true.
Right.
It's like that's a very like really great setup, you know. Then it's like. Sometimes you pick up a manuscript and it's like, oh, this is the thing that just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Or you pick up something and
it happens like 2 minutes later.
And you'll think it's about to happen and then it doesn't happen. Or it will happen like next episode or something. So one that like really set me off was in episode 2, the same section that I kept dying and having to go back for that coffee thermos. There's a manuscript right in front of it, and this wasn't even one of the like the hidden ones. It's like it's on the main path. This is like the given, one of the givens. And it was like, oh, and it was like about Alan using the torch and finding like the hidden messages to find a supply cache.
Mm-hmm.
It's like at this point in the game, I already found six of those. I've already got an achievement for it, you know. And so, because I already know about the supply caches. I immediately thought, oh, this means there's a supply cache nearby.
No.
There wasn't.
Yeah.
And it just, I was just like, then why give me that manuscript that moment? Yeah, exactly. Moving on to some, I call them unofficial collectibles, but have you guys found any of the QR codes?
What do you do with them? It's just like it doesn't tell you to. Do, I mean, do I? You put your phone up to your screen, or
yes?
Yeah.
Oh, so God.
This is different between the remaster and the original game, but the QR codes take.
Yeah.
So
I didn't. There's one in episode 1, and then one in episode 2, and there's only other one is in episode 4.
Really?
Yeah. From what?
What the internet is saying.
Wiki page. Yeah. In the original version, QR code in episode 1 will just take you to the Alan Wake Facebook page.
Okay.
It was 2010. That was exciting.
I mean, I'll be honest. Like, I had the thought. I was like. Is there QR codes in 2010? And it's like, yes, Charles, there was. You know, in the remaster, if you scan it on your phone or whatever, it will take you to an unlisted YouTube video. On Remedy Entertainment's like Facebook page or YouTube page. Okay. And they have FMV, live action FMV of Alan Wake telling a story as he's typing on the typewriter, and it's shot just like a lot of the control stuff was with
Jesse. Yep.
And I haven't like analyzed what he's saying and everything, because I'm still not sure if he's like talking about the game or if it's like
It feels like
hints to.
Maybe Alan from the past or the future. Difficult to know at this point.
It's obviously like it's, you know, they filmed these recently.
Yeah.
And because there was like an Alan Wake DLC thing for Control, and they just did this remaster just out of nowhere. it's like I think it's like it's all but pointing to a Alan Wake sequel. I thought that was cool because they just like, oh, there's a QR code, and then oh, there's a FMV. What?
Yeah, I saw the one, and I'm like, I'm trying to highlight it. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna take my phone up to the TV. No, that's okay.
Yeah. But I thought that was interesting. Another thing I wanted just to talk about for a little bit, just because I loved it, but you found the TVs that show
yes.
Night, what is it called? Nightfall? No.
Yeah, Night.
It's
Night. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I thought I had it written down. Night Spring.
Night Spring.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's Twilight Zone.
Yeah. I was laughing. And then
I love the
first one. Everybody find the first one with the guy with the quantum suicide or whatever.
Quantum suicide.
Do you notice what the institute was named?
No, what was it?
What was it named?
Moorcock.
Yeah.
Oh my god, so juvenile but so funny.
I love for the second one. I couldn't orient the camera like close enough to the
right,
but it's like I love how it is. Tell it is so obviously like this was filmed in one of the spare offices.
Yes, and by you know by coders, and I'll just dub the voices later.
And then they dub the voices with like professional voice actors, and it's like I love that.
Just how cheesy enough acting.
It's like seeing, you know, having played Control, which I loved, and I loved all the F&B stuff in Control.
Right, but it's like they were professional actors, I think.
I know, but I loved the progression. You know, this is where we started. That's the thing I'm most excited to search for in each of these. The TV set that shows an episode of Night Spring.
Yeah, at first, the first TV, I thought it was just kind of like the radio playing a show in the background. I saw the stars for Twilight Zone and said, wait a minute, I'm going to hang around for this.
Yeah.
We'll just kind of start, we'll talk through the episode.
Okay.
Episodes at a time. So we talked a little bit about the tutorial opening dream scene. Is it a good opening?
Yes and no. Yeah, it sort of oriented, got you going, but it was like it took a while to get used to the janky movements. Yeah, like the flashlight flying all over the place and stuff like that. And then, it was your opportunity to adjust it to your liking. Little did I know the first time around, that was, you better pay attention to how this flashlight's moving, because you're going to have to, it's going to be, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it set the tone well, as Alan's, overwrought narration is going to be, throughout the game. And I was like, oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh boy, is this how writers are supposed to talk to themselves in their heads? Oh boy. The whole game of this. All right.
Yeah, he does talk a lot. Not a lot. It's like, I love audiobooks and everything. It's like, narrates himself so much, it's almost to the point of parody.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
The writing, actual collectible writing pages that you pick up, I felt like are, even though they're basically in that exact same style, because it's written word, for some reason it's a lot easier for me to swallow than the very overwrought narrator doing the very dramatic action hero voice. And it's just like, Alan, you're stressed out.
I stepped over a mossy log. It's like, okay, all right, fine.
I looked at the doorknob. It reminded me of my unsheltered youth. You're somebody,
exactly.
It's like, wait, what?
Okay.
You're the protagonist. We get it.
Can you wait till something important is happening?
It's like, I like the tutorial in that aspect. Also, the tutorial is just played like.
The
narration. You're doing these things, and then all of a sudden you have this like straight up disembodied voice going, "You okay? Here's the game mechanics." Which, you know, maybe that will be answered later in this game, but it was just like, wait, huh? And then maybe I skipped a cutscene or something. You're running away from the hobo you ran over or whatever with the axe, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, when you're running to the safe house or something, there's this guy in a letter jacket who's calling to you.
Yeah.
It, like,
no idea who he is.
Then he just dies.
And you're like,
he said his name. Yeah. And I went through it because I went through it once on the PS4 and the laptop. I still don't know who he is.
I was just like, wait, who's that guy? Who is he?
He got the axe to the chest? I have no idea. Wearing a high school jacket?
From my past? No idea.
I was thinking, assuming, you know, maybe that, it's like...
Yeah, I'm assuming it's a character from his book.
Ah, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's what I was assuming.
The murderer was from his book.
Yeah.
So
that's the only thing I could come up with, but... Otherwise, it's just a random kid in a letterman jacket.
Yeah.
Thank you for being the meat shield.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the whole other thing. It's like, again, like, we just... Okay, if you're going to narrate everything, narrate everything.
Right.
Don't go
Who is this person?
Halfway on things. I liked it. At the same time, I feel like because it was just so weird and showed you like what you're gonna be doing, it, like, kind of, it felt like it took away from like a little bit of like suspense the opening had. You're like, you know, you're in the diner and you're just like trying to get tea, like stuff to the cabin, because then it's like you already sort of know what you're up against. Kind of thing. There's no, like, build-up. Then again, it's like, would have slowed everything down by teaching you the mechanics the first time you had to do them, so I don't know. But, so I guess we get to after the tutorial, the game actually begins. How does everyone feel about Alan in general, other than his over-narration?
He complains a lot.
And I said this to Jonathan the other night. He's like, he's a bit of an asshole.
Yes.
He explodes at his wife for a typewriter. It's like,
He went way off on her. Mm-hmm.
That he explodes at the doctor in the second, like, he
punches him in the face.
Oh, and by the way,
it's like,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, I know when I, you know, first get into a cabin in the middle of the woods, the first thing I do is get down to my underwear.
Oh, exactly, right?
Of course.
Yeah, we'll talk about this game's treatment of Alice in a little bit. I have a lot of thoughts about that.
It's like, this is not likable. Are they mm-hmm. going for that?
Yes, and plus who else is he not likable to? I mean, he's short with he's kind of short with the sheriff. You know, he gives her.
Yeah,
you know,
he doesn't like her.
Yeah,
the first person you talk to on the ferry, the radio show guy.
Oh yeah, he's curt with him. He's like, I don't want to really.
He's very very nice, and he's just like, hey, I'm on vacation.
You know, Mr. Big Writer, don't, you know, yeah.
he could have been honest and said, like, hey, my wife kind of wants just a photo op. Take care. And, like, stood at the rail and not said anything. Like, that would have been nicer than just being like, hey, this is me. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Oh, shit, yeah, you're a famous writer. Just... PR is your thing. So it's like, why are you being a jerk to somebody else in media who wants to give you some pub, you know?
Yeah, especially if you haven't written anything in 2 years and you need to keep selling those books you already wrote.
Right.
Yeah, and he's also like pretty rude to Rose when Rose is like, I'm your biggest fan. And he's
very
like,
rude.
Yeah.
He's just like, people.
And he complains about her later to whoever your publicist dude is that comes to help out. Barry.
Yeah.
Diner was hilarious because that was like straight out of Twin Peaks right there.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Missing the cherry pie. We needed some cherry pie.
Really, I really need to watch Twin Peaks. I'm missing all the references all these games are playing.
Like right down to the log lady too. You know?
Yes.
She's holding a lantern. Yeah.
Yeah.
She is. Ah, totally.
She is log lady. Yep. That's a great. That's a great comparison.
Yeah.
I was caught off guard by the geriatric one-eyed biker who sings
in a band.
Coconut.
Yeah.
And he's just like, what? And then what honestly surprised me even more was when you get the jukebox to work, it's like actual song, I mean, the coconut plays. Yes. And I was like, how much did they pay to get that in this game?
Yeah.
I know.
That's a legit song.
And how did they find the people who own the copyright to that?
I know.
That song's so old.
Yeah.
Public domain at this point, too.
Could be.
I guess so. All right, so move on from Ellen. What's everyone's thoughts on?
On what you cut out?
Alice, sorry.
Alice?
Like the suspense.
Sorry. What's everyone's thoughts on Alice?
You know what? Now that we start, you know, talking about, you know, and I'm just reflecting on the little bit we got, I think she's kind of. I don't want to know if this is too deep or anything. She's probably like kind of sensing things are slipping away and she's like desperately trying to get things back on track. That's what I'm getting, you know, from her.
Yeah.
Maybe she's seen hints that Alan's slipping a gear, you know?
So I went back and forth on whether or not I feel like the story fridged Alice.
Okay. Yeah.
If you're not familiar with the term fridging means, taken from one of the DC comics where Green Lantern's girlfriend gets killed and put in a fridge, basically to motivate Green Lantern to go do heroic stuff. So the only purpose that her death served was to make hero be hero. And that's kind of what it feels
not
like.
Not be a person, just being, you know.
For this game as well, we are a plot device. And like these are not real people. This is clearly a fictional story. It is okay for a character to be a plot device. It's just very frustrating to have it always be women that are the plot devices.
Right. I understand.
And like, right, this game isn't completely modern. It's 11 years old. And I feel like that Remedy has made a lot of strides past that with Control. I think that they did a good job of being more even-handed with their depiction of characters. And we're only two chapters through here, so I can't be mad at it the whole time.
Yeah.
But one thing I did like was that in chapter two, we're getting a little bit of flashbacks to see Alice and Alan interacting in their apartment before they ever go on the trip. Granted, Alice's life still seems to be centered around Alan because she's getting ready photos for his, you know, his author picture, which is a great thing for husband and wives to work together on projects. But it would be nice to see that like Alice has things in her life besides Alan and being terrified of the dark. Yes.
Besides taking pictures of Alan, what else does Alice
do? Yep. So I look forward to seeing hopefully a more well-rounded picture of Alice at the end. Personal hope would be that Alice is actually also the creepy lady on some timeline. That would be my personal hope, that she's
quite the twist.
Tormenting Alan this whole time.
She embraced the darkness.
She sure did. But yeah, those are Madeline's thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. I mean, it is Where it's like, because it's like when you think about, especially in episode one, like what you know about her before she's kidnapped is just like, you know, she's a photographer, you know, she's been really looking forward to this trip, but she's afraid of the dark.
She's comfy in her undies.
She's comfy in her undies. Getting her undies. And she buys, you know, typewriter for
a nice typewriter too.
Right? Yeah, and then like that's it.
They should have done a tribute to Misery and have Alan flip out because it's the wrong kind of paper. See, it smudges.
See, at least that would have been like, you know, fit with the theme of a writer of a horror movie, you know. But it's yeah, and also it really doesn't make me like Alan when he's like stuff that he gets so angry, like ridiculously so.
Yeah,
the typewriter
short fuse.
Didn't that he was like I need some space, so I'm going to go out in the darkness because I know she won't follow me. It's like, whoa, that's...
You're such a man-child.
Against her? And then he's like, oh no, she's being kidnapped. Like,
you don't get it both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I'm hoping, like, his weird temper stuff will make sense episodes, but yeah. Also, like that cabin. If I saw that bridge, I would have been like, "No, this isn't up to code."
Yeah,
we can canoe out there. We're not gonna walk this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, poor Mr. Stucky.
I know. What did he
get out of the cabin? He never showed up, and then he gets possessed, and you killed him.
Yeah, that whole. Actually, I didn't mind. Of the two episodes areas, I liked the lumberyard better than the forest. It felt
like there was more to do there. Yeah,
more to do. It was more defined, so you kind of knew where you could go, where you couldn't go, and you know.
Exactly, and you always knew where you're going because you pretty much, for the most part, you always saw the gas station.
Yes, and you always saw a relevant light or path to go to.
Yeah, and it's like I understand, like when you're in the woods in the dark, but it felt like a much more contained, out level.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the enemies made sense.
Yeah,
they were Stucky. And then when you find out Stucky, like, you know, oh, he runs the gas station.
Right.
And then you were fighting all the, like, the lumber workers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because episode two is just like, we're miscellaneous hunters, but we have hammers and sickles.
Yeah.
Because we hunt with sickles.
I didn't have too much problem with I mean, obviously, at every level, it's going to get harder. But, yeah, you know.
Also, maybe I just didn't look well enough in the forest. There's way more, like, hidden caches in episode one, I feel like.
Yeah, and
like,
the caches...
So much so that, like, by the end of it...
Are thinning out. Not only thinning out, but less loot in them. It's like, I think the last two caches I found was just flare gun ammo. And it was like, well, you know, I could use some in the pistol, you know? I could use a refresh on my pistol.
It's like, I understand, like, that is a classic horror game thing. You know, it's like, scarcity, like, amps up the tension.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
In video games, it's the exact opposite. You see a big weapons cache, and it's like, uh-oh, what are they throwing at me?
Exactly.
And there's so many times where it's just like the music, like,
oh yeah, it's like kicks
pointer.
In.
It's like, Yeah, it's like between episode one and episode two, there's a lot of caches. There wasn't. I feel like part of it's like, is there, at least in episode two, they introduce like a couple more items. Mm-hmm. The flares, addition to right. The flare gun.
The hunting then, rifle. Yeah.
Hunting rifle. And then, so then it like will give you, we'll give you one flare,
mm-hmm.
a couple bullets, and I guess maybe a flare gun. And then,
right.
Just like the enemies, just like I.
And you have to fight with the asshole hunter, like being incredible. Yeah. Like at least in the playthrough I was watching, he was so slow. Like you point stuff at people, and then 20 seconds later, maybe he'd shoot
them. That whole mechanic.
Yeah, I mean that there's.
It's like the worst escort mission ever.
Yeah, the level two bad guys that take more than three bullets. They also take longer to, quote unquote, light up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it's a double
and
whammy.
And they're faster.
So it's like, yeah, I wasn't using any batteries in episode one, but episode two, I was eating them like candy.
I know, same. And then like, you know, and like I understand like resource management, get it. At the same time. Like you give me these items right before we do this thing,
right?
And then actually, the escort mission, there's guys like jumping from all sides that you didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's people climbing up the deck. There were people jumping onto the deck. Mm-hmm. No, we weren't being like funneled, even though it looked like it was designed to be like they were funneling towards you.
Mm-hmm.
Then of course, I don't know, the thing that like really just the hunter you're shooting with. You never attack him.
No.
Nothing touches him. They all go straight for you.
Yeah, he's got plot armor. Yeah, that one was like... we're getting there, but I mean, that one was like... I was like, let's take this easy. Let's not start dropping flares right away. Let's see what we can do. Because, you know, it's like, you know, you only got like so many. By the second wave, when the big guy dropped it, it's like, oh boy, better, you know.
Oh yeah.
Start using them now, but yeah, that was it. I mean, it's an interest. I'm just not the only thing. I'm not sure. Maybe you could shed a light. Pardon the pun. Shed a light on Jonathan. Is does the flare like quote unquote light those guys up right away, or is it just stun them? If you know what I mean, does it turn them vulnerable?
Oh, the actual flare.
Yeah, the flare you drop on the ground.
Is it like an area of an effect?
The flare does is it sets up an area of effect and it pushes them away.
Just light. Mm-hmm.
And I think it does do some light damage to them. Like it will. Cause what I've noticed now is if you're shining a light on an enemy, a lens flare is a circle. A circle will get smaller and smaller until they're. Night dark shield goes away or whatever.
Okay, I gotcha.
That's what you're looking for. The size of their lens flare
is
like their indicator. It took me way too long for me to figure that out. But when you're shining a flashlight on bad guy, it will lower their lens flare. Like so slowly, it really matters. That's why you gotta like focus it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the flare, what it does is it pushes them back, then it gives them like the basic flashlight damage. Mm-hmm. So it's like if you shoot your flashlight at them, you know, with the flare, that will kind of do double damage, I think. I don't know. I haven't had enough batteries and flares at the same time to really test it out. But I think flares are mainly supposed to be like crowd control kind of thing. Because later on in episode two, with the crow fight, flares didn't do a whole lot. They just like pushed them away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we'll go ahead and just, you know, go into episode two. You know.
My quick thing about the fisherman doctor, they used the wrong fishing pole.
Yeah.
that's a surf rod. Everybody knows that's a surf rod. You know, with the big bottom. If it has a big bottom, that's what they call it. It's a surf rod for fishing off the surf.
Oh, is he supposed to be fly fishing? Or?
Yeah, it's supposed to, not fly fishing, but a normal, you know, like lake.
Like
or
a river pole?
Mm-hmm. A river pole is pretty small. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it's all in the line you use.
Huh. How dare you, Remedy? Do your research.
Yeah, I see this massive pole, and I'm like, wait a minute. That's not...
He's catching some big fish.
Yeah. But anyway, I digress. Yeah, and then another quirky character, the clerk at the sheriff's station.
At, like, the straight up you know, Marge from Fargo kind of character, just like,
yeah.
Yes.
How you doing?
Oh, you don't want to stay here. They have bed bugs.
Yeah, and then there's, you know, the darkness lady carries her lantern. And
who's in charge of the town's light bulbs, appropriately.
Yeah, which, like, huh. Then, yeah.
And then classic Alan Wake being a butthole just slugs the other doctor.
The celebrity doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, and be like, sheriff, I'm going to leave now.
At the beginning when he got mad at Alice and she's like, no, there's a doctor here who helps people with creative ruck. You want to have me committed?
Yes, yeah, I do now.
That's a leap.
But now,
yeah,
it's like, I love how, like, whole opening thing is he's like, I can't tell the doctor the truth. No, he says he already said earlier that I can't tell the sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
Then she'll think I'm crazy, she won't help me find Alice. Just like, okay, I kind of get that. But then the doctor, he's like, can't tell the truth about my headache, he'll think I'm crazy. I'm like,
he's just like, yeah, I can't tell, he's like, can't make him think that I had any kind of head injury, because they'll think I have a concussion, want to keep me. And he's like, yeah, I don't remember what happened. And I'm like, do you know what happens when you get a head injury?
Yeah.
I know.
You don't remember what happened.
Also, I
have a big cut on your face.
Nobody's mentioned, like, oh, hey, car's in a ravine.
Yeah.
You know? Like, maybe she's in the ravine. Did we not, like, look in the ravine? No. Right, we're going to go back to the empty lake.
Yeah.
I'm going to go punch this doctor because he talked about me with my wife behind my back.
How dare she care about me?
And, like, you know, the sheriff just lets him go. If you find a manuscript later on in episode two, it's, like, from the perspective of the sheriff. Like, it's like, of course, it's being read by Alan Wake, but it's like, like, she knew she probably shouldn't let him go, but something about him reminded her of her father. Oh, she knew she could trust him, and I was like, are you kidding me?
What?
I don't even remember. Oh, God. I generally just read through them the second I find them, so I must have just glossed over that one.
Wow.
Oh, that might be a thing they did in the remaster. In the remaster, Alan Wake, like, it's all, like, narrated.
They're all narrated, but I'm just like, you know, half paying attention.
Paying attention, I get it. Yeah.
Well, we're introduced to Barry.
Barry,
which I love how Barry's the stereotypical manager, but I also love him.
He's what you like him.
And, like, I don't know. He's just like. Because even though he's a stereotypical New York manager, he seems to be the most normal character, to be perfectly honest.
He really does.
Yeah, because like, even the sheriff, like, the sheriff is being weird. You know, the people that, even Rose, it's like, so obsessed with this one author she takes cardboard cutout from the bookstore, puts it in the diner, like, what? And then there's the whole, you know, you only learn about this through the manuscripts, but there's this whole weird relationship between Rose and Rusty.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know how I feel about that, because one of Rusty's pages is like, no, she's just out of her teens, but she makes me feel young in my dead marriage. You're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
She doesn't look like she's that young. She looks the same age as everyone else, but maybe that's just their, I don't know, maybe they just use the same character build for her as they did for a lot of the other women, and so they could have, I guess, filter a little bit different to make her look younger.
I was looking at the on the wiki page for the QR code stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I clicked on, I was trying to remember what her name was, and so I was like looking around, and it's like, in the same vein as everything other Remedy games,
mm-hmm.
is that all the face models for all these actors are the voice actors.
Oh.
It's like, there is a live action like web series with Rose in the diner.
Weird.
and so it's like, huh, that's interesting. I imagine we're probably going to learn more about Rose in episode 3, because there's kind of a cliffhanger with her.
Yeah.
But not poor Rusty.
Figure out what happened to Rusty and the little dog too.
Max the dog. They show you a dog, you can't pet him, and then you don't know the outcome.
Broken leg, and he's in a cage, and then he's gone.
Yeah, and then
And Max is there to teach
you helplessness.
Lay the seed, That was the one line where they say, there's traps in the woods.
Yep. Yes.
Doesn't pay off till an hour
later. Thanks, Max. And it doesn't even pay out. You still step in it.
Yeah, you still step in it.
Rust, I mean, that was,
Rusty seems nice.
I like the visitor center and that whole deal. And
the mammoth.
The mammoth.
It's the mammoth skeleton.
That's not even from there. It's from the LaBrea Tar Pits. It was donated.
But you know, mammoth.
Why not? Yeah, and there's even like a point where you're in the visitor center where someone says like, mammoth." Like there's like a mammoth pun.
A mammoth-sized hole it punched in the wall.
Yes, exactly. And I was like,
really?
And there was a moment like with one of the lines, like I like did a 360 to make sure like. Mammoth didn't turn into like a shadow mammoth that was going to hunt me down.
Or something. Oh, God,
I was really expecting that.
I think between the crows and the ghost, dark, dirt. I think we're going to get a lot of variety in enemies in this one.
Yeah,
that's what I'm getting the feeling of.
Yeah, a lot of this, the action in this game is just enemy management. You know, it's like who's coming at me faster. You know, how far can I back off before I back up off a cliff? Or back into a tree and don't realize it. Why can't I back up? They're coming up, you know. Yeah.
There's also those points where it's like there's light platforming. And it's just like, okay, if this was already not the game for like action.
Or accurate, you know, hypersensitive controls. Not. Yeah.
It's definitely not a platformer. Like there was a couple times where like I tried to jump over the fence and I ended up falling off a cliff or like falling into the river. Oh no. I was so mad. In episode one, like across the river and there's a big log. And then like I expected like most other games like this, you get to like a log or something, like it will just kinda like auto put you on the log and you just push forward. Like
ladder. Yeah.
Yeah. And
no,
I walked straight off of it and into the river. I was like, wait, what?
Whoops.
And or there's a couple times in the second episode where it's just like, oh, there's a fence here. But look, there's a 2x4 leaning against it. And it's just like that.
That's not
challenging. Let me go through the gate. Like that's not just even
maybe a simple door. Yeah. I was trying to think. Yeah, making your way up to Lover's Peak.
Lover's Peak.
That was just, I had to.
It was so.
That one section where there's you see the guy scoot behind the rock and then the other guys come out from underneath the archway. The
archway.
Mm-hmm.
That was where I died.
When I got there, to that point, I had 13 bullets.
Oh.
And I'm like, I died like four times and I'm like, screw it. I hit the checkpoint. Turned around. Luckily, way back at the visitor center, there's an infinite box of pistol bullets at the visitor center.
All the way.
All the way back. So I walked all the way back. Refill. That's... Yeah. I don't know how you would do it otherwise. I mean, I was constantly running out of bullets.
It took me a long... I had enough bullets. But they would all swarm me. What I ended up having to do was, if you aim your flashlight really well, you can go ahead and get rid of the darkness on the one that's behind the rock. You have to be very quick. And so what I did is, as soon as the cutscene ends, I went behind that rock, took care of that guy. Then I just had to do the whole classic
ring around the rosy
game thing of ring around the rosy with the rock until I got them all down.
Yeah, there was no way I could. At three bullets a pop, and then there's one bad guy, which is probably six bullets. You know,
I kept trying to like have a plan that I was like gonna back up into the other area where there was that light. And every time I backed up, I would somehow get backed up into a corner, and then they'd all, pounce on me. Or like, I turn around and try to run, and then all of a sudden, all of them are at my back, and they all stab me.
Hacking away.
And he didn't talk about the dodge mechanic, but the dodge mechanic is so kind of, like,
iffy.
Funky.
Yeah.
It's like, I read that it's like, it will only work when they have their arms, like, above their head about to strike. Then it's so slow for Alan, like, to do the animation.
It's Matrix.
Yeah, well, it's Matrix, but even if they didn't do the Matrix slow-mo, it'd still be really slow. And then that doesn't work with the stupid sickle guys, because the sickle guys attack twice, like, in the same action.
Mm-hmm.
It's so like...
You have to, like, dive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found out what happens, after about five times, I ran back up to the light with the checkpoint, and they'll just stop, and they won't come any. And then when you walk out of the light, they just reappear. And so you can heal up, get back to full health, but the second you walk out of the light, they're waiting for you. A little bit far, a little bit of room, but not much. But I ran all the way back to the Vendors Center, reloaded, got, I think 42 bullets from my pistol, and, finally got through that.
And we already kind of talked about the kidnapper hunter guy.
Yeah.
It's like,
I don't know, maybe. Seems to know a lot of what's going on.
I'm wondering if, like, if he's just the guy, like, one of the guy, like, kind of like Rusty, because Rusty read the page, and then he was attacked, and he's like, it all happened like I read.
Right.
It makes me think maybe this guy just read, like, found the manuscript and read it, and was like, oh, I have to do this now, and...
This is my zombie apocalypse manifest waiting for me.
Yeah, do you think, like, he actually has Alice...
What did he have that he put in that abandoned car license outside of? Yeah, so he had something of hers.
Yeah, but when and where he got it?
Oh, her driver's license. That's right.
Yeah. Well, and there's still the question of the seven intervening days that are missing.
And
that's true.
There's no proof that he actually has her right now, or that she's still alive. He just keeps making threats.
Right.
So.
And.
I mean, for all we know, he probably cut the manuscript in the 7 days.
Yeah.
It could already be done.
Or you know, I mean, we
kind of know that because we're reading this. Pages. Yeah.
It could be that, like, this is all in Alan Wake's head, you know? We don't know.
True, yeah.
Right. He's still in the...
Of course, probably not, since we've played Control, and we know that Control's part of this universe. And Night Trap.
And Night Trap.
Yes, and I did talk to him on the ferry.
Okay, I was wondering if you could, because I didn't.
He just says one line, and it is a little foreboding, but I can't remember exactly what he said. Something like, it's not going to be that easy, or something like that. Everybody thinks it's easy, or something like that.
That's not cryptic. Thanks.
But even the light bulb lady seems to have, like, she's like, bad things happen in the dark. You got to be careful in the darkness. So, yeah. Like...
And there's the...
It seems
the
like some people... Exactly, yeah. I wouldn't normally hit him, but the darkness...
He was an alien.
Yeah. So, like, some people know a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's interesting. And then there's the creepy lady in black who's just
the widow.
Yeah. And then real quick, just because I want to talk about it before it goes to, like, the birds boss battle. Save Benny. All of a sudden, there's car driving mechanics in this game.
Yeah.
Like, run down hunters with your car.
Well, I was doing that. First, like, am I supposed flash... to be running them down? I don't know.
You have to shine your headlights at them.
Flash your headlights.
will damage the truck.
Right. But you only needed it for, like, yeah. Go ahead.
By the time I got the truck to where it needed to go, it was, like, smoking.
Really?
I was like, I obviously didn't do something right. The truck was almost on fire, and I didn't have, like, a hood. One of the car doors was gone. I was like, what is happening?
You hit too many hunters.
And I guess so. That was
weird. I made it, like, kind of, like, bumped into a few of them and then just followed the road. And then I got to where the road was blocked, and I'm like, did I go the wrong way? You know, and then I backed up, went down the road again, and, like, no, there's no other way to go. And it's like, I guess I get out here.
Actually, I know why my car.
What's that?
I made sure, I know why my car was almost destroyed, because I stayed and purposely
ran over every single one of them. Oh, okay.
Reverse and forward.
Because I was afraid they were all just gonna follow me.
I was thinking that a little bit, but I said, nah, just keep going. I don't know, they don't seem to be following.
But yeah, car is just as clunky as everything else that's controlled in this game. It's almost like this, like, I appreciate, like, I understand this was Remedy's, like, one of Remedy's, like, first really big hits. I know they did games before Alan Wake, but. You know, it's like, I feel like you're doing a lot here, and you have like a jack of all trades, master of none kind of thing going on.
Yeah, this is like, we have one guy on payroll who does driving mechanics. We got to give him something to do.
Yeah, and I was, like, tipped off by that because I looked at the statistics at one point, and it said kills. Yeah. I was like, oh no. That means this is going to be a regular thing. Then episode 2 ends with cliffhanger with Rose being possessed or whatever.
Something.
Benny's on board. Benny doesn't think you're crazy.
Thanks, Benny.
I don't really get what I was supposed to be doing with it. I mean, I got through it pretty easily. Not easily, but I just got through it. With the birds and stuff, I was just, you know, used. It gives you two gun flares.
You two flares, yeah.
And then, you know, shot them twice, and then started using the other flares, and then started using the flashlight on them. I didn't even, you know, I knew shooting them wasn't going to be futile. If you just shoot the flashlight at them, eventually one or two will, like, dissolve. every time you use a flashlight. I don't know how I killed 210 birds.
Well, I noticed with the birds, it's they're all damaged by like light.
Okay. And
by that point, because I had so frustrated by the enemies, I was like, I am stocking up a flare gun rounds until I think I have to. So, like, Chainsaw Dude showed up, I just flare gunned him, and he didn't even, like, move. I just, like, instantly killed him. I was like, I'm not dealing with the Chainsaw Guy.
He wasn't too bad. I mean, I had some rifle hunting ammo left. So I was like, yeah, once I got him lit up, then it was just like 5-6 shots with the hunting rifle. And he went down pretty easy.
I pretty much used, I used air guns, the flares, and then that took care of the birds pretty easily. We'll see. It's a good thing with the reasons I also like Betty is like, you know, kind of wish they showed it, give all the things, but Alan just, you know, old, didn't show. You know, when he was like, when he was with Benny, and he's like, I told Benny everything. He thinks I'm certifiable.
Right.
But he did believe that Alice was kidnapped, so it's like, oh, hey. He is a nice guy that he does consider Alan a friend, and is like, okay, if you say Alice was kidnapped, is missing, Alice is missing. You need to stop saying crazy things. We won't believe that
you killed her yet.
Yes. Benny, like, oh, like, oh, nice. To Rose compared to Alan. Yeah. But not sweet enough to know that he was obviously possessed when talking on the phone. You know. But any theories?
Who do you think is leaving all these caches? Or do you think there is a story reason for all these caches? And these messages? Or am I expecting too much?
What the torch means.
Yeah. Because I feel like there will be some sort of
secret society.
I'm hoping there's going to be some sort of secret society leaving all these, and
yeah,
Alan can team up with them, or they'll say, nah, dude, you are crazy. We don't want you.
It would be really cool. Part of me thinks it might just be like, at some point with Alan writing manuscript, maybe he realized it was all going to come true.
Mm-hmm.
So he himself wrote in the caches or something.
I wrote in a back door.
There you go. That's a good point.
Or there might not be an answer.
It could just be video game ass video games.
Yeah, yeah. I still feel like they should have put more messages in general, like hidden messages places. It's like you find one lone random thing that says like, oh, the darkness, blah blah blah. Then it's like you look around everywhere for and you don't.
My statistics say four signs found out of 25.
Yeah. I'm thinking about I wonder how I'd feel about this game if I'd played it for Control. Now that I'm playing it much because of Control.
Okay.
makes me wonder, what's Control action here? I was thinking, is the typewriter object of power? Mm-hmm. Then again, I was like, well, technically the lady in black was already like doing stuff for I guess technically Alice would already had the typewriter. Or if he's like writing the story and all this is like he wrote it in the future, it's retroactively coming true with the past. I don't know. My brain's hurting.
And the whenever he goes into the lighthouse at the very end of the tutorial and looks up, like that looks exactly like whenever what's her face in Control would have the, I don't remember what she calls the pattern or the power or whatever, mm-hmm. but like whenever that would like overlay over her face, Jesse's face in Control, like that looked exactly like that whenever he looks up the stairs in the lighthouse. So I was like, superpowered god that I don't remember what you're called? Is that you?
Yeah. I'm interested in this game, and I'm liking it, even though I'm getting frustrated with the controls and some of the mechanics. Mm-hmm. I want to see where the story goes. It kind of testament to how Remedy's been able to, like, go.
Yeah.
Because... So I'm more looking forward to being able to replay Troll. Wing references, I guess. You know?
Yeah.
Like that's what I'm more looking forward to at this point. And I'm still excited. I'm going to try to come up with a Night Trap theory every week. This is my this week's Night Trap theory. Night Trap all took place in a lake house. Just to say that was not Cauldron Lake.
I like it.
I is Rose the only one referred to as a young person in this entire town?
That's true. Yeah.
She was too busy working at a diner, she couldn't do sleepovers.
Saved with by vampires. Work.
Any other final thoughts from anyone?
No, maybe one. Oh, yeah, you know what I just thought of? I was a little ticked off after episode one when I started up episode two. It's like, I was really doing, you know, okay in episode one and had some ammo and stuff left. And then you start fresh in episode two. And I'm like, damn you. I just did all that conservation. You know, I was trying to conserve, you know, inventory, doing good inventory management, you throw it all away.
Yeah. Totally. I had so many like flare gun rounds still saved at the end of episode one.
Oh my god.
And then that's why at the beginning of episode two I was like, I don't want to have them and then not have used them. Then all of a sudden, this forest path goes on and on and on, and now I don't have flare gun. I was using the manuscripts, look at the manuscript page to like, it's like a gauge to how much of the level I have done.
Same.
And I thought I was almost done with episode two, and then I found another manuscript because I thought I found them all. What? And then I realized,
there's another
scrolls
page
down.
Yeah,
it scrolls down, and I was like, and then I got really depressed.
I missed one in episode two. I don't know. It must have been at the very end because I kind of rushed up to this to the house to get away from the last things, and I walked by the door, and that automatically triggered the cutscene. Uh-huh. Like, damn, there was a manuscript somewhere around the house and I missed it. It's like,
because I already know I'm not going to get all the manuscripts not playing this in nightmare mode.
Yeah.
I'm like,
that's what.
If I can find the manuscript pages, I'll pick them up. I'm not going to be heartbroken if I can't get them all.
Somebody compiled them online, surely, right? Like they.
Oh yeah,
everything is online. Alamic has a huge fan base. So. I mean, I found out about the QR codes stuff because there's already like a huge like wiki page about the QR codes. So.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
All is not lost.
The extra. Later. But Yeah, that was our.
Yeah, one other. And I see in the stat, I saw him in the stats, and then I shot one. It's like, can pyramids knocked over?
I just saw the one.
I saw two. I walked past the second. I didn't know what to do with it until I saw the statistics. But I'm like, I'm not wasting ammo on canned pyramids. You know how rare bullets are?
I saw one, and it looked like a thing that could be knocked over, and I was like, I don't care. Okay, that's something I think it would greatly improve combat or anything, is if Alan just had like one kind of melee
attack, yes,
just a kick, push somebody away or something,
sweep the leg,
because like,
because you will run out of bullets at some point. Yeah,
or like to push them away, like maybe not cause damage,
it just help you evade,
like just to do something. They swarm you, you know? Then you won't have to waste ammo on
stupid stuff.
And pyramids.
Or shooting at crows that are sitting. You know, it's like, do I really want to waste a bullet on this crow?
I'm always a fan of crows adding to the suspense or games kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you see the same crow animation with the same crow sound effect, really every 5 feet.
Yeah, it's like pish,
pish. It's like, yeah, it's get it, there's crows.
What about it?
Anyways,
yeah.
That was spooky.
That was our first chat of Alan Wake. Join us next week as we continue to talk about Alan Wake. We're playing through hopefully the next two episodes.
That might be close to 4 hours, it looks like. From the streamer I'm looking at, they're about 2 hours apiece.
Okay.
If episode 3 takes for a long time, we'll figure it out then. But so join us next week for Alan Wake. You can catch us all on your favorite podcast service. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, everywhere. We're everywhere. Just search The Game Chat. All past and current shows. And keep up to date on what we're all doing on Twitter at @the_game_chat, Instagram, and at The Game Chat. Or that's Twitter. Instagram is at The Game Chat. And then Facebook, we're Game Chat. And send us reviews, send us questions, send us pictures of dogs at notenoughdogs@thegamechat.net. So yeah, thanks for listening, and we'll chat you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.